Thank you. Some of you do not know Randy Pate, but you will be blessed nonetheless by his bringing God's word to us today. Randy is presently the new pastor at Taylorsville Baptist Church. Came there a few months ago from West Tennessee, where he served as pastor for many years in a great, thriving church there in Volunteer Land. Prior to that, he was in Arkansas and served many years there in a major church as evangelism director, as I understand. He probably got, did he ever let you preach, Randy? He let you preach a couple of times. And before that, he was here in Tuscaloosa County, serving at Cottondale Baptist Church. And then also, some of y'all were here when he was helping with the youth and music here at Carroll Street Baptist Church. Just been a few years ago, but God's grace has been always with us, and he's part of that grace that God has distributed. You're going to hear him prayerfully and joyfully. We're grateful for his family being here today. Obviously, the son-in-law of the Walkers and their daughter Penny, one of their sweet, precious daughters. God bless you, friend. So glad. Appreciate you coming.
Thank you. All right. Well, it's a pleasure to be back here at Carroll's Creek Baptist Church. Thank you for the invitation. It was a special time in our life and in our ministry when we were able to serve here. We started here 30 years ago. It's been that long. It's amazing. We were in the other building. I had the opportunity to come to this building and lead the music, the first one in this building. And so it's a pleasure to be here. God bless you. Now take your Bible. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We're going to begin reading in verse 25. Brother Allen, I certainly appreciate your congeniality and your kindness and your leadership here, and appreciate the invitation to be back. Luke chapter 10, I'm going to begin reading in verse 25. The Word of God says this, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What's written in the law? How do you read that? He answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered correctly, right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? He was trying to evade responsibility. Jesus answering said, There was a certain man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. It was a journey of around 17 miles. And he fell among thieves on this journey, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, he came and looked on him, and he too passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him, and he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell, the man that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Let's pray together. Lord, we pray that we'd be challenged from your scripture today. You have a word for us, a pertinent word. Lord, today may be a day that someone really needs to hear what you have to say to them. And so I pray that our minds would be alert. Lord, that we would give a special heed, a special attention to what you have to say to us today. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would always be acceptable in your sight, because you are my strength and you're my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A word to an innkeeper. That is the title of my message today. And if you will, turn off these monitors and that will help. Maybe it'll help in echoing. A word to an innkeeper. This is really a word about problems. It's a word about prejudice. It's a word about pity. Of course, you know this is a parable, and a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus Christ was the master at illustrating points that he wanted us to ascertain. Stuff that he really wanted us to get, he would illustrate it so wonderfully. And so he tells this story about pity and about prejudice and about problems to inspire us in our walk with the Lord. Now, I've got to tell you that some of my favorite scriptures found right here, that we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength, and also love our neighbor as ourself. I'm a bottom shelf kind of guy, and I like it when Jesus makes it really simple, and I can understand what he's saying. He boils it down to saying, love the Lord with the totality of your being, and love your neighbor as yourself. There's three principles that we learn in this story. Principle number one is this, that a lack of love is easy to justify, although it's never right. In other words, I believe that we as human beings, most people are professional excuse makers. We can come up with some way to justify our actions. It is so refreshing to me when someone will just be blatantly honest and just tell the truth about situations. Well, we find in this story that there's someone that is, in a sense, trying to justify their conduct, because the priest and the Levite, they passed by on the other side. But I guarantee you, in their minds, they had some way of justifying their actions and their conduct. Look at all the collection of attitudes that's found in this story. That there's the attitude of the lawyer, the expert in the Mosaic law, that asked the question to Jesus. The wounded man was just a subject to discuss. Then there was the robbers. The wounded man was someone to use and exploit. The religious men, the priest and the Levite, they were a problem. The wounded man was a problem to be avoided. To the innkeeper, the wounded man was a customer to serve for a fee. To the Samaritan, the wounded man was a human being worth being cared for and loved. And to Jesus, all of them and all of us were worth dying for. Isn't that the way it is in life? It's sort of an illustration of life, and that there's a whole gamut of attitudes, even in this congregation today. Our attitude is so important. Purity of thought and purity of intent leads to purity of action. And so I think in God's economy, what's really important is what we possess in our innermost being. How do we really feel about things? And I think it was evident how these different individuals, these different characters in this story, how it played out. I think there's another principle here. Our neighbor is anyone of any race, creed, or social background who is in need. Anyone that has a problem, that we have the means to meet the problem, then we're their neighbor. I believe it's easy to discover that. Then there's a third principle. Love means acting to meet the person's need. I have the resources, therefore the Lord calls on me to use my resources to meet their needs. It can be money. Thank God that the Lord gives the opportunity and the ability for people to make money. I believe that most of the time with the gift of making, you have the gift of giving too. They usually go hand in hand, but there's people that have resources, financial resources. There are people that have a lot of time that they give, and thank the Lord for people in the local church that give of their time. Thank the Lord that there are people in the local church that give of their talent. And so there's three principles that we learn. But there's also three philosophies found in this story. And I want you to take special note of this. The first philosophy is this: what's mine is mine, and I'll keep it if I can. That was the philosophy of the priest and the Levite. You remember in this story that the priest came by and saw this man that was half dead. The Bible describes him like that. And he passed by on the other side. Now, a priest was responsible for the maintenance in the temple. He was responsible for the sacrifices in the temple. And so he was a spiritual man. He would have been, in modern day terminology, he would have been a staff member. But yet the Bible says that he passed by on the other side. Well, here comes another individual, and maybe there's a little hope that he's going to do something. He was a Levite. He was from the tribe of Levi. And in essence, he helped the priest in the daily discharges in the area of maintenance and in the area of sacrificing of animals. So, in a sense, he would have been the associate pastor. Yet neither one of them had an occasion to stop and help the man. Their philosophy is, what's mine is mine, and I'll keep it if I can. I'm satisfied with the way that things are. Now, it could have been, and let's give a little leeway, a little wiggle room to the priest anyway. The priest was not able to touch any dead body. He'd be defiled, and he couldn't go into the temple. But I believe, since the Bible described him as half dead, that if he would have gotten close enough to him, then he would have seen that the guy was still breathing, right? But he just passed by. I started the message off by saying there are people that are looking for excuses just to justify their actions. What's mine is mine, and I'll keep it if I can. Do you know that that's evident in the church of the Lord Jesus today? You can look at the way that our churches spend money. You can look at the way that we schedule things and tell what's priority in the life of a local church. Sad to say, it's rough to look at. It's hard to look at times. What's mine is mine, and I'll keep it if I can. There's no willingness to bend, no willingness to yield or to bow the knee to Jesus Christ. There's never occasion where someone will say, I'm sorry, and let's start on this again. Let's start out afresh. Let's start again. What's mine is mine, and I'll keep it if I can. But yet, there's another philosophy that's found in this story. What's yours is mine, and I'll take it if I can. And of course, that's the philosophy of the robbers. It's all about me. Whatever I want, I'm going to take it. It's a spirit of rebellion. We were gone for 11 years from Tuscaloosa to Arkansas and to Tennessee. It's good to be back home, but people ask me, are you glad to be back home? And I say, I am, but you know what I really think? I want to be honest. There's a spirit, in my opinion anyway, of rebellion that's evident in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. I mean, you know what rebellion is? Rebellion is whatever I want, it's about me, and I'm going to do it. I think it's evident probably in Milan, Tennessee as well. It's just maybe starting afresh. But a spirit of rebellion says, I'm going to do whatever I want to do at whatever occasion. I'm not going to be subject to authority, whether it's police or teachers or parents or whatever it is. And there's a spirit of rebellion in this story. Isn't that disgusting? Isn't it aggravating when someone takes what is rightfully yours like these robbers did? They beat this man and left him half dead. What's yours is mine, and I'll take it if I can. We were with the family, Ramona and Clarence, and my mom and dad, and Penny and I, and we were at Gunnersville. We went up there and rented a cabin. This happened years ago, and I went out to just look at my boat. I'd pulled my boat up there, and when I went out to the boat, you know what I saw? A guy reaching into my boat, grabbing two rod and reels, and took off running. Well, I took off after him, but he weighed about 120, and I weighed about 220. And so he outran, I just saw him fade out into the night with my rod and reels, holding him like this, running as fast as he can. There's a spirit of rebellion in our society. Maybe it's just not Tuscaloosa. Maybe it's just everywhere. Maybe it's just that I'm not used to the crazy driving in Tuscaloosa. Maybe that's it. And maybe I'm labeling it like that. But you know what I'm saying? God wants team players. He wants someone that is willing to yield themselves to authority. But this man says, what's yours is mine, I'll take it if I can. But then there's a third philosophy, what's mine is yours, and I'll give it if I can. And that was the philosophy of the Samaritan. oh, how he challenges all of us. Every time I read this story, I'm challenged to be more of a giver. This story symbolizes problems. You know, all God's children, we all have problems. We certainly do. You know, the Bible says that the major problem we have is that we're sinners by nature and by choice. And that because of our sin, we're separated from God. We're alienated from God because of our sin. For the wages of sin is death. That means that we're separated from a holy God because of our sinfulness. And God is too just to wink at our sin, to excuse our sin, but he's too loving to let sinners plunge headlong into sin. And so there's a divine dilemma, and the way that God rectified that divine dilemma is this. But God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sin, so that a holy God and sinful man could be brought together. So man's biggest problem is his separation from God. It's easily rectified. Today, if you never have trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can repent of your sin and come into right relationship with God today. It's receiving the free gift of eternal life. But man has other problems as well. We have deep needs that are not always met. There are some people that go through life searching for significance. There are people that want someone to love them and to accept them, and they want to have a purpose in life. And we could talk about that. There are so many people that are hurting that want acceptance. And we as the body of Christ need to be aware of people that have deep needs of significance. You know, this word purpose is an important word. The Bible says, "And whatever your hand findeth to do, do it heartily as unto the Lord." That means whether I'm working at Mercedes or whether I'm working teaching school or whether I'm working in ministry, it means that I have a distinct purpose, and that is this: I'm glorifying God in everything that I do. In the morning when I wake up, if I yield my members as members of righteousness and say, "Lord, my mouth's not mine, my hands are not mine, my feet are not mine, they're all yours today. Give me purpose in this day. Lord, help me to build a car to the glory of God. Help me to teach school. Help me wherever I work to be salt and light for you." So many people never discover the purpose of God, and therefore they go through life lackadaisically and never having a true purpose for living. Some people are not accepted by those they love the most. Isn't it a terrible thing that sometimes people never find acceptance even in their own family, and they go through life wandering and hurting? Some people live their lives in a mess because of wrong priorities. They make terrible choices. And their life choices are compounded by the next choice that is a bad choice and the next choice. You think, won't you just stop the madness and stop making bad choices and realize it and surrender everything to the Lord? Solomon had everything that his heart could desire. The Bible says that he had wine, he had wisdom, he had wealth, he had women. Everything that he wanted. He had silver and gold, gardens and orchards. He built cities. He built an elaborate palace. He built the temple worth billions of dollars today. The temple. He did all that. But listen to what he said about all this. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 11. "I looked on all the works that my hands had done and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. Therefore, I hated life." He was one messed up guy. He had the wherewithal to have anything that he wanted, yet he said, "I hated life." He went into the presence of the Lord, and the Lord changed his perspective. By the end of Ecclesiastes, this is what he wrote. In Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14, he said this, as he wrote to his son. He said, "Let's hear the conclusion to the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For every secret thing will be brought into judgment, whether it's good or whether it's evil. Every secret thing will be made manifest." People are searching for something that will give them a feeling of significance. I matter, and what I do matters. And you're exactly right. People are hurting in our world today. Our families are messed up. and people are messed up. Do you know that there was a guy in his church that sent out 25 letters to congregation members and let them know, saying, I know that you're hurting and I'm praying for you. 25 random families, he sent a letter saying that. He got back 20 responses saying this: how did you know? I'm telling you, everyone from the custodian to the pastor is hurting in our churches today. And so what do we do with people that are searching for significance, that are hurting, that have problems in their family? What do? We bring them to the inn. This is the inn. Carroll's Creek Baptist Church is the inn, and you're the innkeepers. Taylorville Baptist Church is the inn for South Tuscaloosa. I look at it that way, and I told our church just a few weeks back, this is the inn. God's going to send people through those doors that need a personal touch that only Taylorville Baptist Church can give them. And we've got to be ready to love our neighbor as ourself. It's after the commandment, after loving the Lord, you love your neighbor. Carroll's Creek Baptist Church is the inn for Northport, if you will. Y'all are just like us. Y'all have people everywhere. And what a great opportunity we have. And sometimes we have to hit the reset button in life and say, Lord, my life is messed up. I've been searching for significance and purpose in the wrong areas, and my life is out of kilter. I've been making terrible decisions, and Lord, I want to hit the reset button and start afresh with you today. I want you to forgive me of my sin. I've been cold-hearted. I've been apathetic. And Lord, I pray that you'd create in me a new heart and make my heart clean. And help me, Lord, to be an innkeeper in our church so that when people walk through those doors, I'll be perceptive enough to help meet their needs. After all, isn't that what we all want? Isn't that what a local church is really all about? Being an innkeeper. Being perceptive of the needs of people. We live in a world that is broken and beaten, just like the wounded man in our story. We live in a world where we're known by numbers. 2604, the end of a Social Security number. How many times do you ask, what's the last four of your social? We live in a world where we're known by your vocation. Hey, I'm Randy Pate. And they'll say, and what do you do for a living, Mr. Pate? And I'll say, I'm a Southern Baptist preacher. How many times do you get asked that? We're known by numbers. We're known by job. The church needs to be a place of refuge, a place where when we walk in those doors, it's the highlight of our week, because this is the inn. We're all the innkeepers. We all play a part in trying to meet the needs of people. If we don't, you know what we're like? We're just like that priest and just like that Levite. It's like we're passing by on the other side. It's like going down one side of the church and somebody else going down the other. If we are not there to help meet needs. The Lord has given us people that only we. Don't you believe this? Don't you believe that a local church is given spiritual gifts to use in that local church to build up the body of Christ? I believe that. I believe that we have spiritual gifts that only can be used by members of Carroll's Creek Baptist Church. And so this homecoming, I think it'd be a great decision for me and you to say, and believe me, I'm preaching to myself, for us all to say, Lord, I've been a little bit wayward, and I've had my priorities wrong. I want to hit the reset button. I want to make good choices from henceforth. I want to be a good innkeeper. This is the inn. It's a place of contentment and peace and acceptance. We say to people, we parlay this to people, you are wanted and appreciated in this place. You know, there's not a person in this room that wouldn't have something to tell you if they thought they could trust you. They would. And so God, help us to be innkeepers in the inn of Carroll's Creek Baptist Church and Taylorville Baptist Church. This is the inn. You're an innkeeper. Let's bow together in prayer. Our heads are bowed. In just a moment, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. Brother Brian will be coming and leading us. And it's just a chance for you to respond. It may be that the Lord's speaking to you about a decision you need to make. You may need to come and kneel down front here and use this front as an altar. You know what an altar is? It's a place where people meet God. That's what it was in the Old Testament, and that's what it's here for today. You may want to meet God here. Hit the reset button in your life and say, Lord, I've been making poor decisions, and I want to come home to you, and I want to confess my sin. It's refreshing. Our past is not an indicator of where we can be in our future. Lord, forgive me. It may be that you are there in your seat and the Lord's not prompting you to come forward, but you need to say to the Lord, I want to be an innkeeper in the inn of Carroll's Creek Baptist Church. And so, dear God, that's me. That's my desire. It can be that maybe this homecoming that the Lord's speaking to you about joining this church, or if you never have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the biggest decision you can make today is come and just take the preacher's hand and say, Preacher, I want to be saved today. Whatever it is that God is saying to you, Brother Allen will be down front. Brother Brian will be leading us. If he's speaking to you, you come right on the first word of the invitation. Let's bow together in prayer. Lord, I do pray today for everyone in this room. Lord, this is the end of this part of the county. There's so many people that need your word, and they need to be members of this church. This church has been a loving church so many years. It's been a lighthouse for this area. And Lord, I know it will be in the future. And I pray that everyone will step up to the plate and do their part and say, Lord, I want to be an innkeeper. And so I pray that as your Holy Spirit speaks, is there anyone here that needs to be saved? I pray they'd respond. If anyone needs to join this church, I pray that they'd do so. We pray these things in your mighty and your powerful name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.